Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is Friday. This week has just flown by. And we actually got a good amount of Biden this week, all things considered. He was asked a few questions today. He answered them to the best of his ability, which is not saying much. But we have some new sound for you. And I want to start today with what I think is maybe not the biggest news, but it's definitely worth letting you know at the top of the show. We have some unexpected news. And I was thinking about it this morning. I'm like, you know, there are some things as you get older you can come to expect. I always expect that the ice cream sheen at McDonald's is going to be out of order when I go to get a McFlurry. I went once with Howie, and he was not happy about it. He did not know to expect that, but I expected it because I've experienced it before. I always expect traffic and rush hour. I always expect Kamala Harris is going to laugh uncontrollably at an inappropriate moment. But then there's things that you can never expect, like a bad jobs report for Joe Biden. Who could ever have seen this coming? You know, when Trump was running against Joe Biden and he was warning us about how terrible things were going to be, he really spelled it out for us. And yet, here we are, month after month, taken aback by all of this unexpected news. The U.S. added just 210,000 jobs in weaker than expected November report. That's according to the New York Post. Weaker than expected is unexpected.
Who is expecting these things to be strong at this point?
Jetsaki.
That's my question. Who is expecting good news at this point?
No, that's why I'm always so confused, because for it to be unexpected, that would assume that someone's sitting there going, I've got a feeling, guys. But they are. They expected 573,000 jobs and they added 210,000. So they missed it by that much. They missed it by a hair. And still, though, Baghdad Biden comes
missed
out
it by that much.
He comes out. He's telling us everything's good. And I guess we're supposed to believe him because he's compassionate, decent Joe Biden. But I have to add this in here, because in this piece in the New York Post, it says, however, despite the holiday season shopping rush, retail employment declined by about 20,000 in November, the report shows. Losses were concentrated in clothing, sporting goods, and hobby stores, but partially offset by gains in grocery and building supply stores. And this is a quote from J.J. Kinahan, chief market strategist at a company here. He says, retail being down is odd for this time of year, he told Bloomberg, but we did see strong numbers in important areas. I just have to say, is anyone, again, maybe there's a group of people out there who are constantly getting this unexpected news, but when you hear that retail employment is down, and then you turn on the news and you see stores being ransacked and looted, I'm sorry, you see undocumented shopping occurring. Are you really that surprised that with all the jobs out there, people aren't running to work in retail? When you hear a story about a security guard who was killed, I believe it was in California, are you still surprised? Is that still a head scratcher, as they like to say? There's a lot of head scratching going on today. And Jen Psaki was on with Morning Joe. And, you know, they're all so lovely to one another. It's just wonderful to see. They're all such friends, and they laugh and they giggle. And they asked her about the jobs report. She is the White House press secretary. And her response was bizarre, that she couldn't comment on it until 9:30. I don't know if that's like some rule in the White House. I don't know. I'm not part of this D.C. clique, So I don't get how these things work, but I thought it was weird.
That's a new level of passing the buck on that one. Sorry, we can't talk about that. It's embargoed.
Yeah.
We can't talk about that.
This report that everyone has now, that everyone's talking about, I can't comment on until 9:30. What's so special about 9:30? I didn't understand it, but Joe Biden came out, he talked about this, and then he took some questions from reporters, and the actual reaction to his speech, of course, he wasn't really making much sense. He wasn't saying anything, you know, that brilliant, but his voice was different, Jared. He came out
before I start, I'd like to report that later today, I'll be signing a bill funding the government operations for the next few months.
I'm going to say something controversial. I think he sounds better.
He's got some bass in that voice.
Yeah, he sounds like, who's that actor who everybody likes from The Big Lebowski?
Need a little more. Oh,
Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Bridges, yeah.
He's got a little gruff to the voice. It sounds very alpha.
Yeah, he's got a little Morgan Freeman going on, too.
It reminds me of when Phoebe got sick with a cold in Friends and her music got way better. And then she like tried to get sick again because she lost her sexy jazz voice.
Statman Carruthers.
I'm not saying this is a sexy voice. Please do not take that out of context. Context matters. Context matters. But yes, so we have that news. We will be talking about this. I genuinely do want to know, though, if people are ever expecting good news at this point. And all of this head scratching, it's not that confusing to people who understand the economy, who understand inflation. And if you haven't heard about that, they're trying to steer clear now of the word transitory. Turns out it's not really the best way to describe what we're seeing currently.
Turns out to be patently false.
Yes. Fact check, false. So there's all of this letdown month after month. And at what point do you wake up and you say, you know what, I'm going to lower my expectations, as the Biden administration has, you know, encouraged us to do. I'm going to lower my expectations so I don't end up being unnecessarily disappointed. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, it's probably going to be a sucky jobs report like all the other ones. But he still comes out, talks about Christmas. He laughs about the empty shelves. I think he's really convinced himself. This is the part of it that really cracks me up. Joe Biden, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, no one on planet Earth owes the media more thanks than Joe Biden. This man should be down on his knees thanking these hacks, these activists with press passes. He should be thanking them on a daily basis for the softball coverage they give him, for the fact that instead of talking about inflation, his sinking poll numbers, the supply chain crisis, instead they'll talk about Omicron because it like shifts the blame off of Joe, I guess, who, by the way, told us he was going to shut down the virus. So I don't really get how that works. But they will do whatever it takes to protect this man. And yet, in his wacky world, in the wacky world of Mr. Magoo, Joe Biden, he has convinced himself that he is the victim of an evil press. I just want to remind everyone, whether you love Trump or you hated Trump, there is no denying that Trump had the most volatile relationship with the media of any president ever in history, I would say. And there's some who come close, but I mean, the nastiness in which they'd go back and forth with each other was unlike anything I'd ever seen. Biden thinks that he is going up against a critical press. And so when he talks about things like empty shelves, and he must have access to something. I don't know if he like stole one of his grandkids' iPhones and he goes on Twitter sometimes. Like, or maybe Ron Klain leaves his open and he just starts scrolling through. He must see when people make fun of him. And he's very, very thin-skinned. So at one point, a few weeks ago, empty shelves Biden was trending. And it was trending so big on Twitter that not even Jack Dorsey, who's no longer the head of the company, but at the time he was, not even Jack Dorsey could, you know, mess up the algorithm. It just overrode the algorithm and everyone was tweeting out empty shelves at their grocery stores. Joe has convinced himself that this is like some conspiracy theory by the newsrooms to make him look bad. You're like, oh, you guys love talking about those empty grocery shelves. It's like, well, yeah, because they exist. This isn't like propaganda. People aren't going to the grocery stores and emptying out the shelves and just taking pictures and posting them. This is a real thing that's happening. But it always blows my mind how he really thinks he's got it tough. He really thinks that them asking him, you know, how are you feeling? What's up with your voice? Oh, they're brutal, this media.
Come on, man.
They are just absolutely brutal. And I actually have a piece coming out, hopefully tomorrow in Spectator, about Omicron and Joe Biden's handling of this and how it feels like deja vu. I believe I wrote in my piece, deja flu. It feels like we're doing this all over again. And maybe that wouldn't be a problem had Joe Biden not promised us that he was going to shut down this virus. And instead, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. He's very much bungled this economy.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
And he's been the least transparent president, maybe not in history, but in quite some time. I mean, no visitor logs. He takes no questions. He walks off the set or the stage or whatever he's on. And it's kind of amazing to see how he's getting away with it, how they're going to try all of this over again. And I wrote today, I said, it reminds me of when you're watching a movie and you see the opening scene. You know, you flick around and you land on a movie, you see the opening scene, and you start to think to yourself, have I already seen this? I feel like I've already seen this. Then once you realize you've already seen it, you have to decide, do I watch the rest of it or do I find something else? And America is about to watch the crappiest movie of all time again. And we have to decide, are we getting up? Are we leaving the theater? Or are we going to sit through this again? Are we that dumb that we're going to let these people ruin our economy, pour trillions more dollars into it, keep people home, shut people down, shut down businesses, fear monger, ruin people's plans? Or are we just going to say, no more. Thank you. We're all good. I know it's all unexpected, but I'm starting to expect a lot of this. It's starting to feel like a rerun, you might say. 844-500-4242. Lots to get to today. A lot of funny sound. There's a basketball coach. I don't know a lot about sports. Jared's going to help me with this. But he put on a Southern accent. And I don't know a lot about sports, Jared, but I love a good fake accent. I don't care if it's British. I don't care if it's Southern. I don't care what it is. So we'll get to that. We have so much to get to. We also have Stacey Abrams in the news, updates on Jussie Smollett, updates on Alec Baldwin that you guys are going to want to hear. So don't go anywhere. Really fun show planned. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. This is their most popular offer. You'll have one for your basement, your first floor, and your second. Jared actually has one in his car.
Yeah, I like to keep it in my car for a variety of reasons. One is if you have allergies like I do, there's pollen, different things you can get in there. So it helps with that. But if there's any other car smells or fast food odors, just, you know, stuff that gets kind of funky in the car, you can just plug the Thunderstorm in. It has a little USB cable. You plug it into the unit. You plug that into your USB port, and it starts ionizing the air in your car immediately, which creates a super oxygen, which gets rid of any of those funky odors, that oil smell that sometimes you'll get, or any allergens that might be in the car.
Absolutely. It's a great product, and right now you're getting it at such a great price with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. You'll get three units for under $200 and save $200. That means you can give one away for a present. You can use one in your car, like Jared said, maybe in your basement, maybe in your kitchen. The possibilities are endless. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. I want to hear from you. Are you shocked? Are you clutching your pearls at the jobs report? Or have you come to expect it? 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, never!
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley.
I'm overwhelmed. I have so much sound to get to today, and so much cringeworthy sound. I don't know where to start. I guess LL Cool J was hosting a tree lighting with Joe Biden, and he introduced Joe Biden, and then there was just 2 minutes where Joe was nowhere to be found. He was running late, I guess. And so LL...
Where's everybody?
I call him LL. I don't have to say his full name. We're friends like that. LL had to riff for the 2 minutes, which, Jared, you know, there's nothing more painful than trying to kill time with a live audience when you have nothing planned.
Should have just done an a cappella impromptu Around the Way Girl performance and everything would have been cool.
No, I really
think
so. Or
Mama Said Knock You Out.
Like, yeah, something.
Yeah, you're, he's an actor now, I guess, but you know, you're
a performer, you're an entertainer.
You made your bones as a singer.
Let's sing.
Mama Said Knock You Out, man. Come on.
You gotta kill 2 minutes. That's a perfect amount of time for a song. And instead, he just kind of was like wandering around the stage. I'm a huge LL fan, don't get me wrong, but I felt kind of bad for him. But what'd you expect? Do you think Joe Biden was going to be on time? He's doing a lot of tree lightings. Do you notice that? He's got no time to like visit the victims of these horrible tragedies that have been happening lately, but he's got plenty of time to be lighting up those Christmas trees. And he's been doing some Christmas shopping.
Well, as a devout Catholic, would you expect any less on the birth of his Lord?
Here's what I'll say. If I was a leader, Miss America, anything, I think lighting one Christmas tree is enough. I think moderation is key. I would say I will light up one Christmas tree, then I'm done. He's doing Nantucket. He's doing DC. Enough is enough, okay? What are you, Mr. Christmas? Now, there's something else I want to talk about here. This LSU coach... My dad just called me because he said, oh, no, it gets worse. He wasn't just, you know, faking a Southern accent. He's actually from Everett. So he's a local guy. So we will get to all of that. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Just for our listeners, save $200 on the 3-Pack through this Sunday. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose arrogance is the most astounding? Alec Baldwin, Dr. Fauci, Andrew Cuomo, or Jussie Smollett?
After reading the transcript of Alec Baldwin's interview, I might have to go Baldwin. It takes quite the ego to shoot someone and then try to blame the person you shot for the shooting. I mean, I got to go Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin polling at 16%. 56% for Dr. Fauci. He is in the lead. 22% for Andrew Cuomo. 6% for Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, and here's the hilarious thing to me about Dr. Fauci. Lara Logan, who I love, was on Fox News, and she made a comparison that a lot of people did not like about Dr. Fauci. I'll fill you in a little bit more about what that was when we return. But now Dr. Fauci is running around to all of his friends in the media complaining. He can't believe more disciplinary action was not taken against her for spewing this crazy nonsense. And that got me thinking. Comparisons, as Dwight Schrute once said, comparisons are hard. And no one knows that better than the mainstream media. No one knows that better than Brian Stelter, than Jim Acosta, than Donnie Deutsch. These people, for the last 4 years, have done nothing but make terrible comparisons. Eric Swalwell. I'm talking comparisons to, they compared Trump to bin Laden, to Hitler, to Stalin. The list goes on and on.
Well, he's such a loose talker. I mean, he just says what pops into his mind, not thinking that as the president of the United States, you don't want to replay this notion that there were rogue killers. Like he's, you know, O.J. Simpson talking about tracking down the real killers in that murder trial. I mean, it's...
Wait. I forgot about that one. Wait, so we have a comparison. Someone compared Donald Trump to O.J. Simpson.
That was David Gregory, yes.
Which in my mind, Jared, if my calculations are correct, means... We do have an excuse to play my favorite O.J. Simpson cut again today.
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin. At least Pee Wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
The Friday show just peaked. We just hit our peak. There's no way we're going to top that. We just mentioned O.J. Simpson, Donald Trump, Dr. Fauci, Brian Stelter all in one segment. Where else are you going to get? Are you not entertained?
This here is Savannah.
We have so much to get to, but we are going to go down memory lane and go through some of these comparisons, since Dr. Fauci is very hurt by the people at Fox News. Don't go anywhere. We also have some Alec Baldwin sound. We're going to have a really fun Friday. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We have tons of sound that we could play right now, but I do want to mention something else. When I was reading these reports about the unexpected jobs report, of course, they have to blame it on the variant. They have to blame it on Omicron, because we can't blame it on Joe. That might hurt Joe's administration, and they can't afford that right now. If you've seen the polling numbers, things aren't looking good in the old Biden-Harris administration. So the media is running cover. That's what they do. And they're trying to blame this variant. And I guess the logic here is that people are so afraid of Omicron that they don't want to go in person to work. I didn't buy that before Omicron. I didn't buy that when we had just the regular, you know, the regular original virus. So now that they're saying, oh, this virus that, by the way, I just want to reiterate this for people. The doctor in South Africa, Angelique Kotze, who brought this virus basically to this variant to the forefront of the news by telling the government and by telling outlets that she had seen a patient with this, has made it abundantly clear that the symptoms of this patient were very mild and that there is no reason to freak out. She specifically asked the governments in a piece she wrote for the Daily Mail not to freak out, not to panic. So what did they do? They're freaking out. To quote Kramer, they are freaking out. Everything is now due to Omicron, the supply chain crisis. Oh, it's Omicron's fault. The jobs report. Oh, it's because people are so afraid of Omicron. I'm not buying it. I'm really not. People can tell me they're afraid of it. I just don't think that's true, because when I look at Nancy Pelosi at the Museum of American History without a mask on, when I see Gavin Newsom extending the state of emergency in California before going to Mexico to spend his week in a villa for $29,000 a night with his family and two personal chefs, I don't buy that he's afraid of this. I don't think that fears of Omicron are keeping him up at night when he's in the Villa St. Lucas Cabo, whatever it is.
Cabo San Lucas.
Thank you. I just don't buy that they're actually afraid. And that's all they want us to believe. And so now that Joe Biden gets this unexpected, terrible jobs report, they're trying to convince us that it's because of Omicron and not because maybe all of Joe Biden's spending, maybe all of his policies have not encouraged people to go back to work. That could never, ever be the case. You know, we're never going to get to the root causes of these things. We're just going to walk around them over and over again. And I wanted to bring this up specifically because Representative Spanberger, she's from Virginia, and I remember the name. When I saw this clip, I remember the name. This is the woman who, after the election, she got on the phone with Pelosi, and she basically told all these Democrats, you guys are killing us moderate Democrats. We cannot survive this anymore. No more defund the police. No more of this nonsense. She really laid them out, and she said, you guys are losing us elections because you sound so crazy. You're scaring people. And so naturally, Pelosi was like, oh, poo-poo, you know, get away. Shut her off, mute her, cut her feed. So I remember that name because I've written about her before. And so listen to what she had to say about all this spending, cut 30.
And then it was outrageously sort of incomprehensible dollar amounts. Am I talking about $6 trillion or $3 trillion or $1.75, right? When at the end of the day, the same people who are stressed out because their kids are about to go back to school and they're worried about COVID and do we put them on the bus or do we drive them or do we have them in aftercare or do we not? You know, and oh my goodness, I think prices are kind of creeping up at the grocery store and someone's on television arguing over $3 trillion or $6 trillion. Like, it's kind of a head exploding moment.
Yeah, no, she's absolutely right. This woman is probably the last Democrat in the country with a little bit of common sense, which in my mind means she better watch out, because I don't think AOC likes this kind of talk. But all of these ideas are pie in the sky. And then when they get these reports back, you'll notice this, Jared, when they get these reports back, oh, the jobs numbers are really bad. We can't believe it. You know what the solution is? I always say this. It reminds me of the SNL. We need more cowbell. We need more spending. More spending. Bring more spending. It's like, wait. Maybe we should try something else. Maybe that's not working. Maybe pouring trillions of dollars into an already inflated economy is not the solution to the problem.
You know, there's a baseball equivalent. You got to hit your way out of a slump. That's the only way to get out of it. Apparently, the only way to get out of this is to spend your way out of it.
Spend. You got to spend money to make money. That's what they say. It's really pathetic. And I just wanted to point out that there are some Democrats out there who are realizing that in 2022, this is going to be brutal. And we're a month away. We are a month away, and Joe Biden still comes out. He still claims that everything's going swimmingly, as if people don't have eyes. And something that Howie brought up yesterday that I think is the key point to this is they're going to keep saying, oh, wages are on the rise. Wages are on the rise. But who cares if your money buys you less? Inflation, as a lot of economists, I don't know if they're the same expert economists that Joe Biden likes to trust.
17 blah 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 blah.
Yeah, they're probably not those guys. These are different economists. They've pointed out time and time again that inflation in itself is a tax. It's a sneaky tax that everybody pays. And I just love that every time he's out there, it's not his fault. It's the variant's fault. And I want to bring up something else. This whole idea that, oh, it's Omicron. They're going to pass it off and blame Omicron for all this. Who was the guy who told me in October of 2020, while the mainstream media was busy burying the Hunter Biden story and attacking Donald Trump, who was the old septuagenarian who told me that he was not going to shut down the economy? He was not going to shut down the country. He was going to shut down the virus.
The fact is that I don't remember.
He didn't shut down the virus. In fact, as a lot of people have pointed out, thanks to the Wall Street Journal publishing a piece last week, Joe Biden has seen or has been in charge while more deaths have happened due to COVID than occurred during Donald Trump. So during one of the debates, he said to Trump, you know, 220, I think it was, 220,000 people have died of COVID. And he said, I want it. If everyone listens, I want them to hear this one thing. And he basically said that Trump was responsible, Trump was to blame, and that no president should be able to remain in the job if he's been in charge while that many deaths have occurred. Well, last week, Biden broke his own grim milestone. There's been 350,000. And so where is the outrage from people who voted for this guy under the idea, under the promise that he was going to shut down the virus? Because it doesn't feel like we're shutting down the virus. He's contemplating a 7-day quarantine for people coming back to the United States, including U.S. citizens. They're talking about now, oh yeah, you're vaccinated, you're doubly vaccinated, you're boosted, but you still got to do X, Y, Z. Dr. Fauci's on every channel again. You'll notice that's happening. And he can talk about everything. He can talk about Laura Logan. He can talk about January 6th. He can talk about Rand Paul. He can talk about Donald Trump. He can't talk about whether or not hospitals should be postponing elective surgeries. That's where he draws the line. But he can talk about everything else. He's, you know, very political. So we've got Dr. Fauci. We've got all these politicians making rules, extending emergency orders and not following them. And it feels like we're back to March of 2020. And it wouldn't be so bad if Biden hadn't promised to shut it all down. Where did those promises go? And he's already changed his mind on that. He was asked about it today, I think. Do we have that sound, Jared? He was asked about it by Peter Ducey about shutting down the virus. And he said, you know, we're working on it. He came up with something. Whatever his answer was, it was not what he promised. And I would like to point out one more thing that drives me nuts. When Joe Biden stumbled in to the White House on January 21st when he fist-bumped Al Roker and stumbled in. He was entering at a very convenient time. The vaccines had been approved. They started being distributed in December. Everything was pretty much teed up for old Joe. In fact, besides maybe Barack Obama, a lot of us didn't think he could bleep it up. I mean, Barack never underestimates his ability to do that, but some of us did. He had it handed to him on a silver platter. So if we're going to hold Trump accountable for those deaths, when this virus got thrown at him out of nowhere, and the medical world, the scientific world did not know a lot about it, and he managed to do the best he could, Operation Warp Speed came up with a vaccine, which was a medical marvel, according to all the experts. Couldn't be done. Chris Hayes was telling me it was never going to happen, that Trump was an idiot for even suggesting he could get it done in a year. And he did. But he was still held to a very, very tough standard by all of these geniuses. Everything was his fault. The buck stopped with him. How could he do this? This was dangerous. He downplayed the pandemic. And think of all the progress that occurred when Trump was thrown this thing. Think of all the strides that were made. Now, meanwhile, Joe Biden steps in. He's got it all. What could possibly go wrong? Can he be held accountable now? Can we play this game? Or is this too ghoulish of me to have a scorecard of the deaths? I wouldn't do it had he not used this benchmark during a debate.
Joe had to deal with variants.
Ugh.
Come on. It's not like Trump didn't have a vaccine for the entirety of what he was dealing with.
Let's go to the shut down the virus question, Jared. You'll know where this is better than I would. It's unbelievable the hypocrisy of this man. Oh, do we got it? If not, I could play the one where he talks about his cold.
Yeah, let's play that one.
All right, so Peter Ducey asked Joe Biden if he's okay. As I pointed out, he's had a bit of a vocal change. He sounds like Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born. It's very like growly. And so Peter Ducey asked him about it, and his response was a bit odd. Cut 17.
First of all, Mr. President, your voice sounds a little different. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I have a test every day to see a COVID test. I have it checking for all the strains. What I have is a 1.5-year-old grandson who had a cold who likes to kiss his pop. And he'd been kissing in my anyway, so but it's just a cold.
One of my texters just pointed out, and I didn't even think of this. This is just everything's so absurd. Even their lies. That's my whole thing is, you know, I can appreciate a lie if it's a little well crafted. But trying to blame this jobs report on Omicron when we didn't even find out about it until like 7 days ago, that doesn't add up. These are November job numbers. How does that make sense? Make it make sense. Make something make sense.
Omicron is so strong that it can go back in time to scare people.
It's time traveling.
Yes.
Is it also a homophobic blog hacker? Because if so, I got to give Joy Reid a call. Stat. 844-500-4242. We've got a lot more fun planned. We are going to go down memory lane in the next segment because I love that, like I mentioned, Fauci is very strict about what he can comment on. Now, he can't comment on a Black Lives Matter protest being a super spreader, but he can comment on a football game being a super spreader. He can't comment on hospitals shutting down elective surgeries, but he can comment on Donald Trump, Rand Paul, January 6th, all that good stuff. And now what he's upset about is that someone had the audacity to make, I would say, a irresponsible comparison. I always hold Republicans or, you know, conservative-leaning people to a higher standard. But he's on with Brian Stelter complaining that this is unbelievable that someone could say something so horrible about him and not have any disciplinary action. Are you guys kidding me? Pardon me while I laugh in your face. I have so many cuts of these moronic comparisons from the mainstream media that no one was outraged by except for maybe me. But I didn't hear a peep about it. And now suddenly Lara Logan's got to get axed because she hurt Dr. Fauci's feelings. I don't think so. I'm Team Lara all the way. You know that Santa loves turtles. Yes, it's true, especially when they are Phillips chocolate turtles made with rich, smooth caramel, hand-roasted pecans, cashews, and almonds. I am so hungry reading that. Everybody knows how much I love Phillips chocolate. I talk about it all the time. I love their milk chocolate, but if you're a dark chocolate fan, it is the smoothest dark chocolate you'll ever eat. It is not bitter at all. It really does taste more like milk chocolate. It's so smooth and creamy.
Yeah, the dark chocolate was very nice because, again, I'm not a huge chocolate guy. I'm really not a dark chocolate guy, but their dark chocolate was fantastic.
All of their candy is so yummy. All of their chocolate, a trip to Phillips Chocolates has been a Curly family tradition. My mom loves the Heavenly Hash. I would very much suggest that if you love milk chocolate. It's so yummy. And right now you can purchase them in store or online just in time for the holidays. And if you place an online order for $100 or more and use code GRACE, you'll save $10 off your purchase. Or if you want to order, you can go to Phillips Chocolate, phillipschocolate.com, or you can visit their Winter Wonderland at 818 Morrissey Boulevard in Dorchester. I really suggest going in the store at least once. I mean, the smell that hits you, it is just, it's everything you love about the holidays in one little shop. Don't disappoint Santa. Go to phillipschocolate.com. Use code GRACE to save $10 on a purchase of at least $100. Make it Phillips Chocolate for that perfect holiday sweet treat. That's phillipschocolate.com and use code GRACE at checkout. We'll be right back with a trip down memory lane. Don't go anywhere.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
All right. We don't have a lot of time here, so let's first play MSNBC's Chris Hayes. I already mentioned Chris today because he was one of the big-time doubters that Trump could get the vaccine made in such a short amount of time. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed, Chris Hayes was proven wrong, as he's very used to that. That's not unexpected news for Chris. But let's take a listen to Chris Hayes talking about Lara Logan last night, Cut 28.
And Lara Logan, who was some streaming show somewhere, had this to say about you in this comparison. I want to play it for you because I want to give you a chance to respond for yourself, and then we'll move on. Take a listen.
There's no justification for putting people out of their jobs or forcing vaccine mandates for a disease that ultimately is very treatable. It's cheap to treat. Medicines are available all over the world, and it has death rates that compare very much to seasonal flu. And so in that moment, what you see on Dr. Fauci, this is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Joseph Mengele, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in the concentration camps.
Okay, now,
and I am talking
stop there.
About people.
I do not agree with that. I don't think that's a good comparison. And Dr. Fauci doesn't either. He was very upset, cut 29.
Wonder how you respond to that.
Well, Chris, I think the response is what so many people throughout the country and the world are responding to, that absolutely preposterous and disgusting comparison that she made. It's an insult to all of the people who suffered and died under the Nazi regime in the concentration camps. I mean, it's unconscionable what she said. Forget about the fact that she was being totally slanderous to me and, as usual, had no idea what she was talking about.
Okay, now pause here. They're very upset about this. It's slanderous. How could you make that comparison? It's irresponsible. It's dangerous. I just want to play a quick supercut here. We'll play as much as we can of it, Jared. Cut 13, please.
This week, 82 years ago, Kristallnacht happened. It was the Nazis' warning shot across the bow of our human civilization after 4 years of a modern-day assault on those same values by Donald Trump.
I'm going to use an extreme example. Think about Hitler.
So many stunning parallels to what Hitler was doing.
In describing Hitler's psychological profile, and this only pertains to Adolf Hitler,
there is so much that is resonant of the Third Reich in this administration.
Many tendencies like Adolf Hitler.
Does this look like Germany in 1932?
We're getting close.
And this only pertains to Adolf Hitler and pertains to nobody else.
90% of what he says, I'm like, this guy gets it.
If you've read anything about the rise of the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler, you will see the parallels.
Imagine if Trump whined as much about those as Dr. Fauci did. I don't think people would feel that bad. All right, when we get back, we're going to go into Alec Baldwin and play some Biden cuts. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.